G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path. G'day, golfers, and good morning, SJ.
Good day and good morning, everybody.
How are we out there? It was 80 degrees yesterday.
Yesterday was really hot. Felt like summertime. First day that's really felt
summertime,
like that.
Summertime, so summertime,
it's getting nice. Everybody's sneezing, you know.
Everyone, how's your allergies?
I don't want to say anything because so far, so good.
You usually have got little watery.
I get a week where I get wrecked, usually.
That's not yet. So I'm smashing it. I
hope
Zyrtec'd it up.
I get through. It just doesn't work for me. I've tried every over-the-counter thing.
So this is so weird. We basically live in the forest, not figuratively, but literally. We live in we border a national park. We got a couple of acres on this. And I've never had hay fever, but since we've moved there, it's horrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But as you said, mine usually goes for about a month.
Every year I say, I should do something about this, and then I don't.
What can you do?
I think you can do some sort of immune therapy sort of deal, but it just seems a bit, intense. So for 3 days of discomfort, I just kind of soak it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It just gets you.
Yeah, it does.
But anyway, summer's coming, which is good. And news from the fairways. We had a pretty interesting week, kind of a null week a little bit in the old golfing world.
Yeah.
Aussie won the LPGA. Mm-hmm. Hannah Green, she played really well, bit of a journey woman.
Cool.
Yep. She played well. What did she shoot? She shot her 12 under. No, yeah, 12 under, pretty solid.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, Aussie. Seems to have crazy tight. She finishes in flexion, chin ahead of belt buckle. She's got her whole torso and chest finish a long way forward, which means the ball should be moving more left, which I dare say the rib cage is up and the hips are tight.
Yeah, similar pattern.
Love to get her with you. Uh-huh. Hannah, give us a call. Liv, mate I used to play on tour with. I didn't really know Brendan that well, a bit younger than me. I think he's like 41, 42-ish. Uh-huh. He won Live.
Yeah.
He's a journeyman.
And this was in Adelaide.
So this was in Adelaide.
This always seems, and I remember this last
this
year,
was
it's
off
a
the
party.
Hook.
Yeah. Adelaide, they really go for it.
So we're going to start with that. So what's your take on Live? I mean, just Live generally, but Adelaide was off the hook.
It looks fun, honestly. I like how they're playing the music. The crowd looks a bit more lively. It's a
different
little bit less well-behaved.
Lots of ladies.
Country club, it's a lot more,
lots of young ladies, which is awesome to see.
It's a lot more lively and kind of seems fun. I think watching on TV, it's just so different from what we normally see with PGA Tour.
But they went nuts.
Being there looks fun. Looks like a party. It's like a music festival more
it's
than
like
a golf
music
tournament.
Festival.
Which is
yeah,
interesting
it's cool.
to see. It's cool.
It's awesome.
It's a little more chilled.
The Aussies won the team and then Brendan won the individual. Mm-hmm. And then... I mean, shout out to Greg. I think he's created a buzz. We don't know if the buzz is going to stay around, but they got a bit of negative press when that poor bastard got hit on the head by a projectile. Yeah. A water bottle cracked. He was fine, but it got a little loose there. And it's teetering on, is it good for golf? I don't know.
Yeah, it's different, which is good. Sometimes you need a bit of extremism to break out of old
ways. It's certainly different.
So it's definitely breaking the mold a bit.
And Adelaide, that event just seems to go. It's a great golf course. I mean, Brendan shot, what did he shoot? He shot a lot. He shot 18 under for three rounds. Now, I've played the South Australian Open a couple of times here. That is a strong golf course.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were playing off the back.
Okay.
To me, that's a hell of a score off the back because those greens are super quick.
Yeah.
That's a really good golf course.
Any sand greens out there?
No sand greens. No, they're bent. They're pure. They're just the course is pure.
Yeah, and I think too in professional golf, Australia doesn't have a lot of tours come in and play events there.
No.
Right? So
no.
Liv has showed up and said, hey, we're going to throw a party, and, yeah, and people are showing up.
And they threw a party.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And then we had the DP tour. We had Yoto Kutsuwara. He was shot little 17-under, 25-year-old.
Yeah, wow.
Hasn't played a lot in the US, but has won. He's made 5 or 6 cuts. I think he hasn't made a whole lot in the US here, but boy can play, obviously.
Yeah, another young kid. Another young kid.
That was in Japan too. So Japanese kid won a Japanese tour event. I love seeing that. I've got to be honest, again, coming from an Aussie point of view, I love the DP tour that we've got all countries.
Yeah, it's cool.
One day we're in Singapore, next we're in South Africa, then we're in Japan. I just love it. I really love it.
Yeah. Do you think the travel for the players is a bit more taxing because
Well, they don't have every week. It's definitely I think it depends on how wealthy you are. If it was us when I was back playing, when I wasn't flying business class, economy would hammer you. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you'd have a speed through line. I'm sure all the world tours have their own private entry through security for these guys. Yeah. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like when Rosie used to travel every other week, she'd have a, what do they call it, a fast pass type of thing?
Yeah, like a Disney World.
Yeah. I'm sure they've got that. But it's the 1 hour in the taxi. It's the 3 hours at the airport. It's the 1 hour getting through customs. Oh, now we're 2 hours because some guy was a red flag. Like it's a lot.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did a little bit of Asia, and then someone said come to America. So one thing that attracted me about moving to America was it was in the one country, one currency, one food.
Yeah.
That's what ultimately attracted me.
Yeah, yeah. Because that stuff, as you mentioned, adds up over the course of a year. 100%. You're exchanging for different currencies, all different languages. I mean, that's going to end up taking a little more of your energy away from the golf.
I remember we were in Malaysia trying to get on Asian tour, and that was when it was just starting out. And I'll never forget this. We were playing an event, and we went to a local market. So a local market here might be Urban Space. It's about a block from us, and you can have 35 vendors from hamburgers to anything you want for beautiful food. We went to the same Urban Space in Malaysia, and I could have eaten beetle, goat's head, brains.
Stuff,
and I'm like, dude, I just want a hamburger.
What'd you go for?
I can't remember what we ate, but I remember we could have bought a monkey like as a pet then and there, like cash only. And we were like, dude, this is off the hook. This is cool.
You get a little caddy assistant.
Shout out Pete Weldon. Yeah. Remember that, Weldo? We nearly came home with a monkey.
That's wild. Yeah.
How did you play in Malaysian Open? Oh, good. I got a monkey. Yeah. $100. And then the PGA Tour, and this is where I wanted to pivot a little bit. The PGA Tour, we had the foursomes.
Yeah, Zurich Classic.
The Zurich down in Louisiana, which I love. I played there a couple of months ago, and it's a great track. Mm-hmm. I'm not a massive fan of foursomes as a spectator,
but
I tell you, I reckon the golfers love it. I would have loved that. That's a great fun event.
Yeah. And the Irishman pulled through.
Shane Lowry and Rory, they won in a playoff. Now, the playoff is interesting, and this is what we wanted to talk about. So I had a funny experience this weekend. So Colts just started playing soccer, and my little guy, our little guy, he's a quirky young man. He's very bright, and he just beats to the tune of a different drum. So he's playing, he's 6 years of age, and he's just figuring out his body a little bit, and some of his mates are these super sporty nuts, and Colts kind of just figuring it all out.
Yeah.
So he's playing soccer, I'm on the sideline, and someone kicks a ball and hits him straight in the face. And anyone who's got 4, 5, 6-year-olds, their first reaction is, and when you're a parent and you know the cry from, oh shit, that really hurt, or I've broken something, to that's uncomfortable or that shocked me. So it was an uncomfortable. So it hit him pretty hard.
Yeah.
He looked at me, and then the tears start welling up. And I said, come here, buddy. I said, you're all right. Let's get a bit of water. Let's brush you off with your face. I gave him a big squeeze. I said, now, pat him on the ass. Now, get out there.
Yeah.
And this is where we'd love to talk about the Zurich. Colt then said to me, well, he then went and played, and he did great. So he didn't cry. The tears were there, but he toughened up, and off he went. Mm-hmm. And then later, in talking about that episode with Mum, he said, Mum, you'd be so proud. I went beast mode. And then Rosie turned to me after and said, what happened? I said, well, the young fella got hit in the face. Tears came up. It was a shock. It didn't hurt him. But then his beast mode was nothing. But in his brain, because he didn't cry and he just got straight back into it, he went beast mode. Now, in his brain, he was tearing off scoring goals. Yeah. Well, no, he wasn't. He was just kind of hanging out. He was hardly kicking a goal. Yeah. So in his little brain, he pivoted from, I had a traumatic event on a sporting field. I could have just thrown the towel in.
Sit on the sideline.
Sit on the sideline and cry about it. But he didn't. He went beast mode.
Yeah.
Compare that to Ramey and Trainer. Now, their playoff, for any of those who didn't know and the point of the conversation, those two poor buggers imploded. They'd obviously, I don't know if they've won a tour event between them, but they've got all the way to a playoff. Mm-hmm. They've played 72 holes. And the guy's pre-shot routine was at Mr. Ramey. He had a second shot in a par five, which was reachable.
Yeah.
His pre-shot routine must have been 3 minutes.
Oh, really?
He's hit the ball. He's hit a pull hook because there's water all down the right. So he's had a pre-mental state of don't hit it in the water.
Yeah.
And I wasn't there. I don't know him. But as soon as he hit the ball, his club's moving left to say to the spotters, hey, this thing's going left. Mm-hmm. So here's my son, who in his little brain was so focused on the fact that he got over being hit in the face that he was in beast mode, where he actually didn't change. These two guys, Ramey's hit one that he's snap hooked, and as he's hit it, he's pointed to the to the watchers.
Like
this is going
to happen.
He knew it was going to happen. And then Trainer duffed his chip. It was the worst looking chip. And again, probably because there was water over the back, he wasn't set. And it just shows you how powerful the brain is.
Yeah. So they'd lost the playoff.
They'd lost it before they even started. And that's our point, is that golfers, when you're starting to play, we're a little bit different to some of the world in that we're just starting to get back into it outside, you've got to have the mental concentration to be in the moment.
Yeah.
Which gets back to Scottie Scheffler. He is, whether it's religion or whatever your thing is, and same as Nelly Korda, when they said, how did you feel? You're about to win five in a row and win a major. Mm-hmm. She said, I was in my bubble.
Yeah, just hit one shot at a time.
Poor old Trainer and Mr. Ramey, they were not in their bubble at all.
Yeah, didn't give those swings a chance.
And I was watching the golf. I always watch, as you know, Mondays from the Sunday. And I saw that playoff and I timed it. And they were about 2.5 minutes on that pre-shot routine of their second shot.
Yeah.
And Shane Lowry hit it in about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so just same process. Every swing kind of set up the same way and give it a chance, and they just started going.
Imploding.
In their heads.
And so everyone labels that as choke, and I don't, because I've been there and I've been in that situation. It's just you don't have the processes for success.
Yeah.
You know, someone I'm pretty hard on, Billy Horschel. Billy does the same thing. Now, he won the non-sanctioned PGA Tour event last week. My guess is his manager has said, look, buddy, you're not playing great. You're not getting it done. You've got to learn to win again. Mm-hmm. One thing I'm very hard on Billy is that he often spits it and throws his clubs and he carries on. He's so emotional. But what he doesn't, I don't think, realize is that he's setting a consistent pattern of emotional arousal up and down and up and down and up and down. Whereas Rory and Shane Lowry's great at this. They just went on with it.
Yeah, just professionals.
It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You've got to go into beast mode like Colton. Like, God bless him. In his little brain, he was scoring a goal at Wembley.
Yeah.
In his brain. And I think the two guys who lost the playoff, as you said, they'd already lost it before they began. Yeah. So, guys, when you get out and play, you've got to, even if you're playing on a Saturday morning with your mates, that pre-shot routine habit is so important for that 20 seconds.
And the adversity is going to show up, especially in golf. That will show up. You're going to hit bad shots. So
I know,
prepared to deal with it.
When we played at Ferry Point, I was cruising along and then I said a negative comment when they didn't pick us up on nine because it was freezing cold. There was heaps of staff. And I'm like, come on, you could have given us a better experience at Ferry Point. And then I went bogey, bogey. And I think it's because I got a little negative in the environment and I got out of my process.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Colton did with his soccer. In his mind, he was in the moment.
Yeah.
Whatever his practical nature was of actually the experience, but in his brain, he was in beast mode. So everyone, pre-shot routines, get in beast mode.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hope Trainer is sitting back and actually watching that video and going, that pre-shot routine of that chip shot was horrible.
Yeah.
He was always going to clunk that. And not in a choke. I don't believe in the word choke. He just didn't have his pre-shot routine on what he wanted to do. His brain was thinking, shit, don't hit this in the water.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like a Scotty Scheffler's like, I'm hitting it on that spot. It's checking on the second bounce and it's leaving me an uphill putt. Mm-hmm.
Same thing he would have done on the first
same
hole.
Same thing he would have done on the first hole.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
leads us to, well, how do we get this? We wanted to talk about, how do we get to the first hole? We wanted to talk about how you warm up because we've had a lot of feedback in here on our guys and girls saying, how do we warm up?
Yeah, everyone's, it's just been something that pops up over and over again, especially recently now that people are starting to get out there and play again around here anyways, is well, how do I warm up for golf?
And this isn't a warm up.
No, that doesn't count.
That's not a warm-up. So what we wanted to do is be practical and say, all right, golfers, how do we warm up? So how would
So I kind of look at it as a few steps.
Perfect.
And before even going into this, the best way to actually warm up and prepare for golf is to have been doing things to prepare in the background throughout the whole entire year. So if you save it all for the 30 minutes before you play golf, I mean, you're
pretty well cooked
fighting
goose.
You're fighting an uphill battle. So that being said, you know, don't expect your pre-shot warm-up isn't going to fix your swing or your body, but just get you ready to play good golf off that first tee, not say, oh, it's the breakfast ball, and then you have to reload, you know,
and
be
then
ready
to the point,
hit a good shot.
You've got me in understanding my body. Like, I constantly throughout the day now reset my hammies to pull my pelvis down to neutral to switch them off and give them movement.
Mm-hmm.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, at you know nearly 49, I can rip this thing 100% any shot you want without even a stretch.
Yeah.
So I think you're very different. The swing ideology is very different to stretching. What is stretching and how is it so bad in theory?
Yeah. So in some cases, I mean, if you just think of like the slow, prolonged stretching, people sit there, try and bend their toes.
Yep.
Pull your foot up to your butt, stretch your quads. That slows down muscle activity, slow, prolonged stretch.
How?
It's just neurological. So you get that slow, prolonged tension on the muscle.
Okay.
It just slows down fast twitch.
Okay.
So if you want to go do something that's a speed sport like golf, then it would make no sense to do all these things that are going to slow down your muscles.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, is 99% of people how they warm up is holding a stretch. You heard it here. So let's start to prepare for that Scotty Scheffler dominance or that Colton beast mode. Shout out, big guy. We're going to start to create a new dialogue here.
Definitely. So the first thing I always like to start with and have people do is just spend a few minutes addressing points of friction in your body is the first thing. So whether that's with a lacrosse ball, a foam roller, if you know, okay, I tend to get really tight here in this muscle or my quads are tight, you know, spend a few minutes, roll it out. You don't need to be spending 30 minutes doing this.
So for me, it's my right glute med, probably because of my knee.
Yeah, so get in there a little bit, loosen that stuff up. So I know for me, I've got a few points of friction in my body, which is my left ankle and foot, which I broke both of those things.
Okay, so just backpedaling a little bit. So you've had a trauma that has created a longevity issue.
Yeah, so it's something I need to address on a regular basis. Also, left hip, which is connected to that.
Yep.
And then I get tight in my T-spine. So
probably
I'm going to spend...
Probably because of work, right? Working
yeah,
on patients.
Exactly. So I'm going to spend a few minutes just loosening that stuff up because I know there are things that pull me into movement patterns I don't like that don't revert into a good swing.
So a baseball, if you're really sadistic, a golf ball, the smaller surface area...
Yeah.
Like when you see people lie on a bed of nails, how they do that is they spread out the surface area force. So if you really want to get on a point, so if I'm rolling my glute med, if I use a golf ball, that's going to be excruciating compared to, say, a softball, which has a larger surface
area. Yeah, or a foam roller.
Or a foam roller.
So, you know, pick your poison there.
So you love foam rolling or rolling?
Yeah, a bit. And it's just something to spend a couple minutes on. Yeah. Just loosen up the stuff that, you know, will...
5 minutes?
Yeah, at most.
At most.
Two, three minutes. I'd spend. Then from there, I go into what I always call brain games, but they're neurological exercises. These are the things that kind of reset your body. So get the bones in the right place, so the muscles that you want to be, you know, ruling the roost and moving your body in a position where they can do so efficiently.
May I get you to say that phrase that was really powerful?
Yeah.
You said it last week. You said muscles move around. What did you say?
Yeah, so muscles respond to joint position.
So what does that mean?
So what do we mean by that? Yeah, and this, I think, contextualizes a lot of my philosophy in dealing with the body. But your bones are passive, right? If you didn't have the muscles and ligaments to hold them up, you'd just crumble.
Okay.
So with that being said, depending on the joint positions that you have, certain muscles, say on the front of that joint, are going to have leverage if it's in a good position, or don't have leverage if it's not in a strong position.
Okay.
So depending on where that joint is, muscles front and back are going to be either in a place to do their job efficiently, and your brain has an incentive to use them, or the opposite.
Okay.
So goal is to, first, you've got to know where your tendencies lie, what patterns or compensations
you
go to.
So you'd need a professional like yourself to work that out. So there is a bit of a component here. If you'd like to warm up efficiently, spend an hour with a physical therapist like Sean.
Yeah. So this is where I'd love to like just say, all right, everybody, do this. And this just works for everybody, but everyone's different. So it's not possible. So this kind of second stage after you address the points of friction is you have to know your tendencies and where your pitfalls are that don't go well with playing good golf. And then you just do, again, a couple minutes here. I have pretty much one exercise I'll do that will just, I know, set rib cage, torso in the right position, hips in the right position, and then I'm free to rotate.
Yeah.
And I feel completely different before and after I do it, but it only takes, you know, a minute or two.
So you think we need 10 minutes to warm up, not even?
Hopefully, 15 minutes max.
So two things we can talk about. Getting back to the Tiger, when Tiger went into the Masters bench press, so bench press, bench press, bench press, bench press, bench press. Now his rib cage is up. Now his pelvis is misaligned. Now he basically can't use his glutes. Mm. The Scottie Scheffler gadget that he's pushing is basically pushing Scottie Scheffler's brilliant. The actual gadget's just like a thing we've been using here for 20 years. Be careful to go out and buy the gadget, because unless you know what your body type needs, mm-hmm. Scotty's brilliant unless you're built like him with needs like him.
Yeah. And it can be used well, but again, you need to do a few things to address your specific issues.
So again, so listeners and watchers are watching, what do they actually have to do? So how can we, rather than someone listening to this saying, that's awesome, Sean, but what can they do? What can they learn from this chat this morning?
So first is just to start listening to your body a little bit. If you really get rid of some of the clutter, it's going to tell you exactly what's causing issues and needs to be addressed. So if your lower back gets sore and achy, or it already feels that way before you play golf and it does afterwards, then the lower back's stuck in a position where it's got to be engaged all the time. So if you can do something that calms that down before you play golf and it frees you up to actually rotate, then hey, you're going to start to enjoy your golf a lot more. That stuff, though, is a little bit hard to give somebody to do without knowing where their body stands. So this kind of second stage I'm talking about is going to be different for everybody. And that's the tricky part when trying to make blanket statements. But like I said, the first step, address points of friction. Step two, a couple more minutes now on these kind of neurological changes. Get the bones in the right position so the muscles can do their thing.
So for you, you get me to lie on my back, legs up at 90 on a box, mm-hmm. and I just teach my hammies to engage to allow my pelvis to reset.
Yeah.
And that's now, you've got me down to doing that in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'll do it for, 3 minutes?
Yeah. And you just need to switch them on. Once they're there, your body says, oh, okay, I know what to do in this scenario. And then the right muscles wake up and you're ready to move. So
this is funny. So I'm rowing to try and keep up with numero uno. I'm doing 3K, 2K, 1K. And before you taught me how to reset my pelvis, which allowed my hamstrings to have more leverage, I would row and I would feel it in my shoulders and my chest.
Yeah.
After I reset, about 3 minutes, I jump on that rower, I do my 3-2-K, 3-2-1-K. Mm-hmm. My hamstrings are on fire, which is fantastic.
That's awesome.
For me, getting back to the Tiger, big chest, arch lower back, glutes turn off, hip flexors turn on. When you tell me to reset, my hamstrings pull my pelvis down. Now my ass can start working. Yeah. I got a big ass, so now I want it to work.
Yeah, so you've got, now your posterior chain has leverage, so you start using it.
Yeah.
So it's not like it was broken or anything wrong with it. It just wasn't in a position to.
What about the whole idea of getting two clubs, heavier weight, and start swinging?
So again, research has proven it slows down your swing speed.
Beautiful, hear that?
So don't do it.
What about the speed sticks? Do you like the speed sticks?
So this is kind of the last step that I would talk about, which we're going to get to in a moment.
Yep.
So in between that, we've got step one.
Step one.
Points of friction.
Points of friction. How do you work that
roll
out?
Stuff
just
out.
Feel it.
You know, you should know.
Yeah.
And if you don't, like, just start listening to yourself a little bit, your body.
Step
start
two.
Feeling what gets tight and achy. Roll that out. Step two is the neurological quick little, they're kind of like isometric hold exercises.
And that's, you need someone like you to do that.
And it's really specific, so it's a little bit tricky to show to all you guys here. And then step three is where I like to get some separation drills going. Now these feel like actual exercises.
Okay.
So you want to start pairing the muscle groups that need to work from your lower body all the way to the upper body to start working together and encourage that rotation in the golf swing.
Like, so, can we have one example there?
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to throw out to you guys a link here that's going to have a few of these separation exercises.
Love it.
And it's pretty straightforward. I like picking things that don't require any sort of gym equipment. So if you have a wall, you know, or just even the ground, then that works.
Okay.
So one thing too, even right here.
Yeah, let's do it.
If you just have your countertop, you can get some separation drills going, which I'll step back a little bit. I'm going to use this chair. So one of these separation drills, super easy. I'm sitting here with a chair in front of me. You could use your driver, a club, countertop, whatever you've got. But goal is to get you out of this anterior tilt, ribs up position, get you into the opposite, which would be I'll get my hands on top of this chair. I'm going to tuck my hips under, get weight back into the heels. If I breathe out now, I'll be able to feel my ribs drop down. You'll see my back is rounding a whole lot
more. So people would say that's rounded posture.
Yeah, and it is. But it's getting the rib cage down, putting your core in a position of leverage, your hamstrings
Please
in a position of leverage.
Understand this, guys. This
is
cool.
And if you can get there, your spine's in a really good position to rotate as well as the hips. So this is where, when we talk about separation drills, now I'm just going to start turning belt buckle as far left as I can, back to square, belt buckle as far right as I can. Now, if you're tight and you sit a lot at a desk, you're going to start feeling some stretch here. So lower back, I feel some stretch going on.
So that's a good
Maybe
thing.
In your mid-back, it's good. Yeah. So we want you rotating in a point where you have this posterior pelvic tilt, especially coming through impact. So we want to practice that nice and slow so your brain can feel how to control it. Then when you're actually swinging, good chance
it shows
up. And
that's slowly. That's done slowly.
Yeah. So it starts. I'll just go through the sequence again. I'm going to tuck my hips under, weight back into my heels. So I feel like my tailbone's behind my heels a bit. I'm going to breathe out, full exhale. As I push my arms forward, that gets the ribs back and away. And from there, then I'm just going to go 10 times each side and rotate as far as I possibly can without losing that set position.
And what's that teaching you? What's that doing?
So it's teaching you to use stabilized pelvis with your posterior chain, core in the front, and then rotate without losing that.
And we're not trying to create speed like a golf swing per se. We're just teaching the brain to separate.
Yeah. So, and you have to do it slow at first because the golf swing is so quick. You can't feel those positions. So just get yourself in a spot where you can feel that. Teach the muscles to start working together as you rotate. And then you'll start to do that subconsciously, which is the long-term
goal. And are you trying to keep that feeling? And again, we don't talk about this. So this is all kind of as we go. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to keep that feeling of separation to then go and play the holes, or it's just an exercise that's independent of the golf swing? It just happens to correlate to what we're doing.
Exactly the latter, what you just said.
Okay.
So this isn't something you want to be then standing over the ball.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, tuck under.
So
and
that's
I'm gonna,
really important because we don't want you wading to your heels on a golf swing.
Yes.
It's just getting the brain to reset position to allow you to separate.
Yeah, this is not a technical swing thought. This is just starting to pattern your brain to move in a way that's conducive to playing a golf.
I think that's really important. Yeah. We're not saying this is how you are in posture in a golf swing. This is how to get the brain to reset the bones to allow the muscles to move in
them. Awesome. And it's about pairing muscle groups together. So
Love
I don't
it.
Want you just to do one hamstring exercise. We already did that in step two.
Yep.
This is going to be pairing muscle groups together, get your whole body working in a good way. So the thing I've mentioned before too is your brain's really good at recognizing patterns. If you pick a warm-up routine that you do consistently before you play golf, your brain starts to recognize,
we're going to
be playing golf in a little bit. And
I'm
you
in
start
beast
doing
mode.
The same exercises.
Yeah.
You can start tapping into beast
Love
mode
it.
A little bit.
Beast mode.
That's just a kind of a snippet of one of the separation drills I think is really easy to reproduce anywhere. But I like doing about three of them. And it's going to just, one will kind of hit each plane of motion. So a little bit lateral up and down, more rotational, and then a little bit more front to back. So a separation drill that just gets each plane of motion.
And it gets you into that posterior tilt motion.
Yeah, yeah. And trains the muscles that make that happen.
So just to be clear, it's not how you swing a golf club.
No.
It's teaching the brain that you're about to do an exercise for 4 hours to get and reset the bones to allow the muscles to move in the habit that will matter.
And get these muscle groups working together. And like I said at the very start of all this, if you've been training these muscle groups to work together when you're working out in the gym and you have a good sense of controlling them, it's going to switch on really quickly. Like your warm-up routine can be super fast. You do one set of these couple exercises and you're like, all right, I feel great. I'm loose again. So that's the nice part is the work you put in leading up to the 30 minutes before you play, it will carry over into all of this. And then the last step to this is getting your neurological system ready to fire quickly. So this is where something like the Speed 6 can be kind of nice, or even if you just grab your driver, but I like having people take, you know, 5 to 10 swings, just kind of full out. And again, no technical thoughts.
Yep, just rip it.
If you go in first tee box and it's the first full speed swing you've taken, it's not going to be anywhere near as fast as all the research shows. Once you're, you know, and a lot of times it can be, you know, 50 to 70 full speed swings in to where you really peak with your neurological system firing
the
fastest.
Say that again slower. So it's going to take you ballpark, research-based, how long before you think you're peaking your driver?
So it takes your neurological system time to ramp up.
And unlike, you're talking brain to muscles.
Yeah, yeah. So like muscle or nerve conduction firing from your brain to big muscles. So in a lot of cases, you know, when people do speed sessions, you think of like a Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to start peaking well into his speed session. You know, it could be 150 swings in even.
Yeah.
The first ones are going to be the slowest, and it's going to kind of slowly ramp up as time goes on. So if you can get 5, 10 really good full speed swings in, your swing is going to be dramatically faster on that first tee box than if it's just your first one.
Okay, so let's recap. Step one, roll.
Yeah,
identify.
Foam roll, myofascial release type of stuff. However, where you got a lacrosse ball, foam roll, or whatever. 2 minutes there, we'll say.
Step two.
Yeah, step two is going to be the neurological fixes. So get the bones in a position where the right muscles can switch on and do
that
thing.
Need someone like yourself with that
one. Yeah, that one you need some help because everyone has different issues and you need to know what to address.
Please see physical therapy. Step three.
So that's, again, 2 to 3 minutes, step two. Step three is going to be separation drills.
Okay.
I say three drills. I do 2 or 3 sets of each.
5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then the last one is just a little bit of a neurological ramp up.
Which you do like the speed stick in that instance.
Yeah, just because.
Well, the baseball with the ring thing they used to do back in the
80s. Again, it's like holding two clubs. Yeah. When it's actually heavier, it slows you down. It will feel lighter when you let go of the weight. You get rid of the donut around your bat, but it
so
slows
I've
you
never
down.
Liked those speed sticks. So there is medical information that suggests it does slow
you
down.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say speed stick, especially before you play, but just take your driver and get some really fast, hard swings in.
That's why you get the guys to use the towel.
Yeah.
On our group training. We have group training every morning.
Sequencing drill for the most part. Yeah. But so just get your neurological system primed to fire quickly.
And just no technique.
No technique at all. Yeah, yeah. So just let it fly. Get things moving. You might have a crack or two in your back. That's fine. Get those cobwebs out of the way. Just a joint or a bubble inside your joint. You have fluid inside all your joints.
Okay.
When you create pressure through movement, it creates a little vacuum and a bubble forms, and then the bubble pops.
What's the bubble? Gas?
Just gas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Love it. Well,
fun
listen,
there.
This has been quite, this went somewhere where I didn't think it would go. And it's been really, I'd say this is going to challenge what 90% of people, how they warm up.
Mm-hmm.
At Swing, we're trying to create a whole new narrative based on science and math.
Yeah.
Not, this is what Bryson's doing. No, what's the science and medical data suggest? So, beauty golfers, look, the work you put into your entire game off the golf course will return enjoyment for you on golf course. You can absolutely own your swing.
Mm-hmm. Hit a good one off that first tee box.
Hit a good one off. We don't believe in breakfast balls. You should be warmed up. And we're going to challenge how you warm up. We're going to put this in a PDF for you so you can absolutely own your swing.
Give you something to start with. So
beauty.
Good luck out there this week, everybody.